All right, are we going?
Yeah.
I should probably have a list that I forgot that I hadn't done. I got it done. What's up? This is Movies on Up. It's a comedy of criminal proportions. I'm Dave, joined by my co-host of Criminal Proportions, Mr. Ryan. I don't know what that means.
Your partner in crime?
Yeah, my proportional partner in crime. He is Ryan, I'm Dave. We are Movies on Up. Our tagline for this week, it's a comedy of criminal proportions. If you know what that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or the Twitter @moviesonup. If you're right and we pick you, you will get the glorious Movies on Up prize package delivered directly to you.
Well proportioned.
You know what? I always get this movie mixed up with
the other movie.
The movie where Arnold Schwarzenegger gets pregnant. Junior.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
Junior. Because in my head, it was like, oh, I'll do the movie where he gets pregnant. And I type in the title and I go, and that's the tagline. And then I look at the poster and I realize, like, oh, yeah, it's not the movie where he gets pregnant. Because we're not doing an Arnold Schwarzenegger episode.
We aren't.
Rambo Last Blood comes into theaters this week.
Does not feature Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No.
That I know of. I have not seen it yet.
It instead features Sylvester Stallone, who is really trying to milk everything he can out of the two franchises that he... We went through.
Well, like
this.
Arnold's not.
Oh, yeah.
Another Terminator movie, the King Conan movie that's been gestating
but we
for
did
15
this,
years.
We went through this, when was it, like 2006? When we got Rocky Balboa and
Rambo.
Rambo. Just Rambo.
No colons.
No. And then now we have, you know, we got Creed, kind of put him back, reminded people that there is talent in there somewhere. Now he's talking about writing another Rocky movie. This movie, Last Blood, I like the idea, the title of it, but it's just like he's just taking on yokels, isn't he?
I think it's the cartel.
Okay. Where Rambo, he was in Colombia or something?
Yes. Rambo, that's the fourth one. He was like shepherding some Christian aid workers in I don't know if it's Myanmar or somewhere that I don't want to be, which is essentially every Rambo movie. He is somewhere I don't want to be, and that includes Hope Washington. Fuck you, Hope Washington.
Person and the place.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sorry, Hope Washington. That was just a
good
joke.
She doesn't listen.
Yeah, I hope not. Anyway, this week, we are doing our favorite Sly Stallone movies. How many Rambos will make it? How many Rockies will make it?
I can tell you zero Rockies made it. I wanted to leave that franchise off my list because I very easily could have Rocky 1, Rocky 3, Rocky 4. I liked Rocky Balboa, and I liked both the Creed movies. So that's a lot of the same.
You know what? I didn't consider Creed. I was going to say I don't have any Rocky movies, but I forgot about Creed, so I do. Here's my thing with Rocky. Growing up, I loved boxing. I was into it. I boxed, and everybody talked up Rocky. I grew up on Rocky 3.
Yeah, and 4.
And 4, and Mr. T is...
Dolph Lundgren,
Tommy the Machine Gun.
Yeah.
So those are what I grew up on, and everybody talked about Rocky being this great movie, and it's like, oh, I've seen... The sequels.
I've seen the good ones.
I didn't watch Rocky until I was like 18 or 19, and it was not Rocky 2 through 5.
It's a much different movie,
it was...
which is not unlike his franchises, where they start in one place, and they go in a vastly different direction.
Yeah.
More on that later.
Yeah, so I wasn't nuts about the original Rocky, but Ryan, your number 5 favorite Sylvester Stallone movie.
It's from the 70s. It is directed by Paul Bartel from 1975. Death Race 2000 is not the 2000th entry in the Death Race franchise. It is the first, starring David Carradine, Simone Griffith, and Sylvester Stallone. Although James Caan's Rollerball would be released later that year, the blood sport used as pacification for the ruled masses of the United States movie that you really want to see from 1975 is Death Race. As with many Roger Corman-produced movies, it is campy B-movie at its finest. And as was so often the case in the late 70s and early 80s, filmmakers didn't have the best outlook for the future of our government, often with some disastrous economic calamity befalling us, leading us to the rise of some dictator president. They hit it on the head. Death Race actually even goes a little bit closer to the mark by having the film's Mr. President blame the economic condition and terrorist plots on another nation, France, in this case. Not China, not Russia. It's the French's fault. Our Death Racers are somewhere between The Stalkers and Running Man, which is very near and dear to my heart, and like actual monster truck drivers, like the cool monster trucks that actually have like a gimmick built in, like Snake Bite that has the snake, and I think there's Minotaur that has
T-Rex
horns.
T-Rex that like stands on its hind legs.
And can't reach anything.
Yeah, I might have made that one up.
Maybe. I don't know. It sounds good to me. The cars in Death Race are very much like that, and they reflect the personalities of their drivers. And the race, while it is pretty, it's violent. It's hard R. If the director had his way, it would have been even worse than that. But it kind of plays out like a sadistic Roadrunner Wile E. Coyote cartoon, if you can believe that. Stallone plays Machine Gun Joe, who's determined to win the race and become the new champion. Essentially, he's just an obstacle to overcome. The meat and potatoes of the movie is this plot by this rebel group led by a descendant of, I believe it's Thomas Paine from the 1770s. They're trying to kill all the racers so that they can shut down the race and kill the president too. They're a violent group of rebels, these folks. The current champion, Frankenstein, played by David Carradine, is right central to that plot. I have a soft spot in my heart for Roger Corman movies. Most of them are just kind of schlock, but this one is actually pretty fun, and Stallone is Stallone-y in it.
My number five.
Already, I talked a lot.
Wow.
About
I
Death
lost
Race.
Track. Yeah, my number five is from not long after that. It's from 1981. I don't love Stallone movies because I don't love a lot of those action movies. But one thing consistent with his movies, it shows in the Rocky franchise, a lot of Stallone movies have really good villains that kind of elevate the movie. That's the case with 1981's Nighthawks, starring Stallone, Billy Dee Williams, and Rutger Hauer as Hamer Wolfgar Reinhardt. When you think Stallone, you think, I bet he's a conservative, play-by-the-books street cop. That's what he plays in this, so he's acting. He's the play-by-the-books cop, doesn't really want to do anything wrong, and then there's this Rutger Hauer's over-the-top terrorist that is kind of playing with the media. And Stallone has to do Stallone stuff against Stallone's wishes. It's an 81 action movie. If you watch it, you can see why Stallone kind of became what he did after that. This would have been after Rocky, but before Rambo, I believe. Yeah, Rambo was the next year in 82, but he'd already had two Rockies in under his belt by this time. This was kind of that transition from Academy Award nominated writer-director into star of the arm wrestling movie.
You want to talk about alternate realities where Stallone is the play-by-the-book cop. Alternate timelines are fascinating to me, and my number four is going to tie into this. There is possibly some alternate timeline out there where Stallone played Axel Cabretti in Beverly Hills Cop, and Eddie Murphy just remained the guy from SNL and some pretty solid stand-up specials. And if you're wondering what Beverly Hills Cop may have looked like if it were a straight-up action movie and not a comedy, it would have looked like George P. Comatose's Cobra from 1986, starring Stallone, Brigitte Nielsen, who makes an appearance in a Rocky movie, and Renee Santoni.
She was in Beverly Hills Cop 3, too.
Oh, yeah, you're right. She was. Beverly Hills Cop, not on my list, because it doesn't star
Stallone.
It'd be
1-3 on mine.
Yes, fair enough. After heavily rewriting the script for Beverly Hills Cop, because for whatever reason, Stallone thought, oh, this isn't good. Let's take out all the jokes. Let's add in a bunch of murder, and somehow it'll be better. He ended up leaving that project, I think it was like a couple weeks before they were to start filming. He took that script with him, and he adapted part of a novel as well, and he came out with Cobra. There's not much in the way of acting other than extras acting like they got shot by Sly. It's kind of bland. Cobra appears to be the only hope in law enforcement to stop a group of radical domestic terrorists. It's almost as if Lieutenant Cobretti is looking right through the screen at Paramount, telling them that he was right, and they should have listened to him and made Beverly Hills Cop his way, which is a difficult argument to make given that Beverly Hills Cop grossed $234 million, quite a bit more than Cobra. It is dumb 80s action movie, perhaps best known for the matchstick that Cobretti has in his mouth throughout the whole movie, which made a big impression on Nicky Winding Rain and Ryan Gosling. That's why he had the toothpick in Drive. His character has just about as much personality as the Cobra. But hey, man, if you want to watch some gruesome deaths, Cobra's for you. Originally rated X.
Like they wanted Death Race to be, and like
the Kitty and RoboCop Studs party was.
Yeah, RoboCop was originally.
Yes.
My number four was kind of at the end of Stallone as Stallone. It was right there in the mid-90s. His career's weird. I feel like his career had phases to where it's like, oh, I feel like we've had a million Stallone comeback movies. You look at them and you realize like, oh, they're only like 3 years apart. Because The Specialist from 1994, directed by Louis Luza, starring Sylvester Stallone, Sharon Stone, James Woods. He's a bomb expert.
He certainly is.
Yeah, Sharon Stone wants him to kill the mafia that killed her family. So it's a standard Stallone movie at this time. Although in the 90s, he was trying to mix it up a little bit. He had Daylight and Cliffhanger are two different movies.
Yes.
I always believe they're one. I always think they're the same movie, and they both came up. I think Cliffhanger, I think the same movie. I think Daylight, I think of the same movie. Like, I know they're two different titles, but I always just get them in my head for the same movie. But this was near the end of his heyday. You know, this was 94. Judge Dredd and Assassins was the next year. Then Daylight. That was like the end of Stallone box office action star at that point. This was more crime movie-ish.
Yeah, he went to
action
that.
Action movie.
Yeah, where he was trying to be an actor in kind of an action movie, but he wasn't the one throwing the punches.
For a Stallone movie, it's a quality, it's a competent movie.
He does throw some punches in David Callahan's The Expendables from 2010, which is my number three. Starring, of course, Stallone, Jason Statham, Jet Li, Dolph Lundgren. This is the second straight movie in which Stallone has a screenwriting credit for, and spoiler alert, it will not be the last one on my list. This one made a list a couple weeks ago for my favorite Statham movies. It's going to make this one too, and if we ever do my favorite Dolph Lundgren movies, it probably makes that as well. I absolutely love the team-up aspect of the Expendables movies, and I feel like in drama and comedy, it's not unusual to have an ensemble cast with a ton of genre superstars all sharing the screen together. But in the 1980s, there just wasn't enough screen to handle all of the machismo of more than two of these guys in the same movie, let alone the roster that The Expendables puts together. As I've said before, this was like the action movie Avengers. The sequels got bigger. They weren't necessarily better, but the rosters got bigger. It was like a fantasy draft of kick-ass action guys from when I was growing up. And I think it's 100% a guilty pleasure. Could I tell you the plot of any of the Expendables movies? Not really. Something happens. Barney gets his mission. He's got his team and they go accomplish it and blow some shit up and have sleeveless fist fights. And I don't know. People get shot. It's dope.
My number three is one of those comeback movies, I thought. But now that I look at it, it's from 1997. He was big in 95, 96. He had Daylight. Maybe in my memory, like I'm remembering it being talked about is a Stallone comeback movie.
Don't call it a comeback.
But I think it was more Stallone returning to like Oscar type stuff from 1997. James Mangold's Copland, starring a hell of a cast. Stallone, Harvey Keitel, Ray Liotta, Robert De Niro, Peter Berg, Janine Garofalo, Robert Patrick, Michael Rapaport, Annabelle Sciorra, Noah Emmerich. I mean, there's a lot of people in this movie. It's a good movie. I think there was a lot of Oscar buzz when this movie came out. It didn't end up getting any, but I mean, that year was a hell of a year for Oscars. So I could see it getting shut out now in hindsight. For some reason, I remember this movie being like, oh, Stallone's back. And, you know, he's fine in it. He put on weight to play like the kind of over-the-hill cop who's just sheriff of a small town. Copland is where a bunch of the corrupt New York City cops live because they're still considered to be close enough to the city. So he lives in a town that's basically just corrupt cops, and he maybe wants to go after the corruption. You look at the cast and it's, you know, it feels like a Scorsese movie almost. And even the subject matter, it's almost very Scorsese-ish. I believe this was very early in Mangold's career. I mean, he followed that up with Girl Interrupted, another one that got a lot of Oscar love. So, yeah, I mean, Copland, it's a competent movie. It's another one of those. It's more of a crime thriller than an action movie.
Yeah, this was the one that I was going to mention. We were talking about him transitioning to more of, like, the actor role in, like, a crime. So I wouldn't say that Copland's an action movie, but he was definitely trying to make more of an impact with his acting rather than his fists in that phase of his career. Not the case in my number two. He is back to doing what he does as good as about anybody in 1993's Demolition Man, directed by Marco Bambrilla, starring Sylvester Stallone, Wesley Snipes, and Sandy Bullock. By 1993, Stallone was absolutely a household name. Rocky had already had four sequels. We were three Rambos deep. And for me, I look at the first half of the 90s as peak tentpole Stallone. When I think of tentpole Stallone, I think of Demolition Man. Financially, it wasn't a huge success. It grossed about $58 million on a $57 million budget. That is not a recipe for making money. But looking back, it seems like it was much more successful. Simon Phoenix is a dope villain. Sandy Bullock blew up, I believe, the next year with Speed. And then you have Stallone, who at that point had already had over $1 billion in action movies over a 20-year career. Even that Taco Bell merchandising in the movie, they brought back the San Angelias version of the restaurant to Comic-Con last year. And it works as like a face value sci-fi action movie. But like Death Race, there's quite a bit of black humor and satire hiding just below the biceps and blonde hair.
This was my number one, like far and away, but I'll make it my number two just to keep going. I legit love this movie. This is one of those that young Dave growing up, at this point, Wesley Snipes was one of my favorite actors, and he's awesome in this movie. I was in a big Dennis Leary phase in this era, and this Dennis Leary's in it. Sandy Bullock is the newcomer who stole every scene she's in. She's so good in this movie. Showing up in an action movie like this, like she's really, really good and really, really funny. And, you know, we're 25 years later. I still haven't figured out the seashells. I love this movie. I love everything about it. The idea, like it's a good premise. This is the kind of thing that Stallone and Snipes make the movie iconic and make it memorable, but it's something that you could take the idea and very easily modernize it and adapt it and make it work.
It's specifically like this idea that
freezing criminals.
Right. So when Simon Phoenix is defrosted, we are in a gun control society and there's no ability to combat someone like this. So how do you combat a dangerous criminal with another dangerous criminal? I mean, I certainly think that this movie, I'm not saying that it should be remade, but I think that this particular climate would lend itself.
And I mean, if we're going to get a Face-Off remake, like, that's true. This is the same kind of thing. Like, I think remaking
but
this,
even more plausible. You know what I mean? Yeah. Somehow, it's more plausible than Face-Off.
I would think remaking this makes just as much sense as remaking Face-Off, because that movie was only iconic because of John Woo and Travolta and Cage. Right. So if you're going to do that, but you have to go big with it. And that's where they went wrong with the Point Break remake. I mean, a lot of stuff went wrong, but you got to go big with that and not give us Luke Bracey and Eddie Ramirez or whatever. They need to be these big personalities
to fill
in.
Yeah, because that's what Snipes and Stallone were. That's Keanu. You're right. If you're going to remake it, you've got to use...
like it's The Rock versus John Cena.
I was thinking The Rock and Jason Statham, but in fairness, I am always thinking The Rock and Jason Statham. Neither of which appear in my number one, the aforementioned First Blood from 1982, starring Sylvester Stallone, Richard Crenna, Brian Dennehy, directed by Ted Kotcheff. As I mentioned earlier, it is quite amazing to see what this franchise would become over the next couple installments. What started off as a character study of a Vietnam vet with a healthy amount of PTSD at a time where PTSD wasn't even a thing. You fast forward to 3 years later and he's a one-man army. He's a weapon with a mullet. Don't get me wrong, I love the action Rambo movies, but First Blood actually has, if you can believe it, a fair amount of nuance to it. Rambo's treated almost like a movie monster that you can sympathize with. He's not played as like crazy or needlessly violent. He is just a wild creature trying to exist. He's being provoked unnecessarily.
It's the 98 Godzilla.
He's being provoked unnecessarily by Brian Dennehy, much the way Godzilla was. And he just reacts as he's been conditioned to do. It is my hope that Last Blood can take the character of John Rambo back in that direction. We've had a ton of one-man army movies. We got a lot of them in the 1980s, specifically Commando, with Schwarzenegger. Yeah, absolutely. The Chuck Norris movies.
American Ninja.
The Speakman movies.
The Perfect Weapon.
But the treatment of Rambo as this physically capable yet mentally damaged war hero, I think, is a role that would play very well today when we are much more cognizant of mental health than we were in 1982. So that's the aspect of that character I'd like to see come back, and hopefully they can bring that back and put a bow on the Rambo series.
I feel like Stallone's franchises come from him, where he wants to play a character and it's this slower burn kind of movie and it does well enough, and then the studio's like, all right, just the punch stuff from here on out.
And he's like okay with doing it.
And that's what Rambo is. That's what Rocky is.
Oh, Rocky was a great character, but
just kick, punch, punch.
What if he beat up Hulk Hogan?
And you forget about that, I think, because, you know, if you grew up on Rocky 2 through 5 or Rambo, you hear Rambo and you think just dumb action movie. But the first one's not that. And my number one does kind of dig into the Rocky legend. It's the first one on either of our lists that I wouldn't say is a Sylvester Stallone movie, but it very much is. It is from 2015, written and directed by Ryan Coogler, written by some other people, starring Michael B. Jordan, Tessa Thompson, and Sylvester Stallone. It is Creed. We've gotten a lot of legacy sequels. Star Wars, I guess, would count. Jurassic World, Halloween. We're seeing a lot of these legacy sequels. And sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. And I feel like this is a good way to do a Rocky sequel. You're not putting him in the ring. I don't know how the timeline works out. I don't understand how Michael B. Jordan is Apollo Creed's son, because the timeline just seems way off to me. He seems too young. Rocky 2 was what, 79?
Well, he died in Rocky 4.
Okay.
So he was, I think he was sired probably between Rocky 3 and Rocky 4.
Okay. You took the focus off of Rocky, but still had him prominent there. And you kind of built up the Creed legacy that was established in the Rockies. And then you throw it on to Adonis Johnson. And I think the key thing here is you cast a movie star to do it. If this same movie is made with, I don't know, any throwaway dude, it just comes off like a cash grab. Like, oh, we're trying to reach that Rocky. But with the director involved, with Ryan Coogler and with Michael B. Jordan there,
it comes off as Rocky 5 if you just cast some dude.
Rocky would have been, what, Rocky 7 at that point?
Yeah. But that's what happened. You know what I mean?
Like
they cast
somebody, a boxer. You took somebody who overshadowed Stallone. And I mean, Stallone got Oscar talk. I don't think
he was nominated.
He did get nominated.
Yeah, 40 years from when he was nominated for playing Rocky Balboa, he got nominated again. Same role.
Michael B. Jordan should have been nominated. Coogler should have been nominated. Some of the boxing scenes in this are so good. It's a better character boxing movie than Rocky. And I mean, it's a different era, so I get that you're comparing.
The pacing's a lot better.
And I think there's more to it. I like Tessa Thompson more than I ever liked Adrian. There's more to it. I feel like Adonis is more compelling of a character than Rocky. Creed 2 lacked that power that Coogler brought. They've apparently offered Creed 3 to Michael B. Jordan to say, hey, make your directorial debut, which I don't think he's signed on to yet. But I mean, I would see it. He's worked with Coogler so much. I think he's probably picked up some stuff from him. Creed 2 wasn't great, but I'll keep seeing Creeds. I'll see him until Creed 8 when he's fighting Tommy the Machine Gun's kid.
That was like the one thing I wanted to leave all of the movies in which he plays Rocky Balboa off my list, because I do like him an awful lot. Creed 2, Ivan Drago's character was really interesting. I liked seeing some of these characters in a much, much different place. Like what happened to Ivan after he lost on home soil and what that did to his life. That was kind of cool. Now, I don't know how much there is to really mine after that. Like,
and that's the thing,
are we going
like,
to see Clubber Lang's kid?
I don't want
kid?
Clubber Lang Jr. in 3. Like, I don't want to keep... I was joking with the Tommy Machine Gun.
Thunderlips like, the second?
Like, I want to see Creed's career develop and Creed come up with his own nemesis.
Nemesis.
Yeah, nemesis. But I don't know how far you can go without straying away from Rocky, without taking that turn. And I don't know that Stallone is going to be in the third one. Like, I don't think there's anything concrete there. Which
I thought they had a great chance to write him out in the first one.
Yeah. I thought that was the point of it.
Yeah. Maybe to still have Drago around and not have Rocky, it wouldn't have been quite the same. But I certainly think that, and you hate to see like a Adrian dying off camera, like that's not exactly cool. Polly, that's not cool. You don't want to see Rocky go that route, but at some point, I think that the point of Creed was passing that torch, so you'd like to see it get fully passed at some point.
Yeah, and not do an X-Men thing where it's like, oh, now Rocky's going to be more and more, and now all of a sudden Creed turns into Rocky, whatever, where there's a new younger one. But did you have any also-rans?
Not really. I mean, by virtue of leaving off the Rocky movies, the rest of my list probably would have been also-rans. He's a guy that I can't say that I am, and I've never really been a giant Stallone fan as it comes to action movies. I like Arnie. That would be a much easier list for me to do. Jean-Claude, even Dolph Lundgren, outside of the Rocky stuff, of course. But he's interesting because he has, like we've mentioned, some different phases of his career. And those phases may last about 5 years. And then he has his comeback where he just switches to something slightly different. It almost feels like his career is using a lot of almost the same colored crayons. You know what I mean? And that's the artwork
of it. You look at him from Rocky was 76. He was relevant from... He took a couple year break there. I mean, there was stuff like Paradise Island, but Rocky, once Rocky 2 hits, you have the Rocky and the Rambo stuff, but in between there, you have Cobra, you have Over the Top, you have Lock Up, Tango and Cash, which was my only technical also ran. So in the 80s, if it wasn't Rambo or Rocky, and a lot of actors you see do that, where they fall into a franchise. Like, how many Vin Diesel movies have we seen that aren't Fast and the Furious, you know? So a lot of these action guys get wrapped up in a franchise, and that's where they go. He had two franchises going at the same time and still delivered Lock Up and Over the Top and Cobra and almost threw in, you know, Beverly Hills Cop. But then the 90s, Stop or My Mom Will Shoot, which that's my favorite Arnold Schwarzenegger story, is that they had this rivalry going all through the 80s, and Schwarzenegger read the Stop or My Mom Will Shoot script and thought it was the stupidest thing he'd ever read. And he told his agent, put it out there that I'm considering this. Because he knew if Stallone saw that Schwarzenegger was considering it, he would gun for it. So Stallone did Stop or My Mom Will Shoot because he was basically pranked into it by Schwarzenegger. But the 90s, you had Cliffhanger, Demolition Man, The Specialist, Judge Dredd, Assassins, Daylight. That's a 5-year run. You go into 2000s and it's mostly made for DVD stuff until The Expendables in 2010, but he's remained credible. And I mean, I didn't hate the Rambo Balboa or whatever it was. Rocky Balboa, I don't like that Milo Ventimiglia or whatever, so he kind of took me out of it. But I mean, for somebody who I wouldn't say that I like, he's definitely not one of my favorite actors, but I definitely respect the hell out of him. You don't hang out this long and have this much of an impact on pop culture without having something. And also, one of my favorite Norm Macdonald sketches on SNL was Stallone hosted that, where Norm's dying in the car accident and Stallone's trying to help him, and he's just talking about how crappy his movies are, and it's the funniest thing. Look up the Norm Macdonald Sly Stallone sketch. It's hilarious. But next week we wrap up the year before October, so next week is our fall preview till we kick into October, which we're doing the 2 episodes a month again.
Two episodes a month, we can handle that.
2 a month, I could do that in my sleep.
Yes.
I mean, I do 4 a month in my sleep pretty much. But yeah, so we'll go back to 2 a week through October. We'll explain that a little bit more in October. But next week, come back for our fall preview. And until then,
keep it up.
Bye.